A lot of what we do here in church is on the spiritual side, but then the Bible is so full of other things regarding natural life, because God wants to touch and reform. He wants to touch and bless and reform all pieces of our life. Our spirit, our mind, our body, the externals, the lifestyle, and the internal, the issues of the heart, the soul, the repairing of the breach inside you. Amen. So we do a lot on the inside and we do some on the outside, because that's how the Bible's written, and that's the way God expects us to live in this kingdom of God. The Bible said this, that until John the Baptist, the law and the prophets were preached. But since John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been preached. So there was a different preaching that went on under the Old Testament, the law of Moses. Now that we're with Jesus, the kingdom of God has been preached, and we're pressing into it, right? Amen. So the things you hear now is because the kingdom came. Before Christ, the kingdom was not here. It was a dead zone. Listen, the whole earth was a dead zone before Jesus Christ came. Can you imagine trying to follow God and serve God with no kingdom, with no atmosphere of heaven, with no insight and light? Jesus is the light of the world. Until before Jesus, there was no light. It was dead. It was dull. It was dark. It was dim. It was a dead zone. We're in the kingdom of God. Let's not take it for granted. And let's not keep it just natural. Let's recognize the spiritual connection we have in it. The glory of God that's in it. The kingdom of God is where you get all this joy in the Holy Ghost. Yes. And that's why Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Spirit-filled Christians ought to be the doubly happiest people on the planet. And that's why here at Houston Faith Church, we want to help people get saved, receive Jesus Christ, and be born again, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have potential to be so joyful. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking and doing all these outward rituals to please God or sacrifice your life or earn points or get a label or a trophy. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is this place where we're right with God, where you don't have this intimidation from God. You have an acceptance, a feeling of acceptance from Almighty God. That's righteousness. And then peace, you can have peace in this life. The whole world's searching for peace. Every Miss America contestant is looking for peace, world peace. Everybody wants peace in this whole world. If I could just have a little bit of peace. People are fighting real hard to have just a little bit of peace. If I could just make a little bit of money to have a little bit of peace. If I could just have these kids be quiet for just an hour so I can have a little bit of... Everybody's looking for peace. But in the kingdom, there is peace. In the midst of chaos, there's peace. In the midst of a crazy world, you and I have peace. Only because of the kingdom of God. Not because you've figured it out. It's because you have tapped in to the kingdom of God. Amen. And then there's joy in the Holy Spirit, joy in the Holy Ghost. There's some joy that we wake up with a pep in our step. Even before we hit the coffee machine, we know good stuff's about to happen. Whether it's caffeinated or non, we know something's good about to happen because we have joy in us.
Right.
We have an our future is secure. We're going to heaven. I mean, golly, hallelujah. All I got to do is bear out this life for another 80 years. That's it. Some of us 40, 50, 30, 10, 20. There's joy because we have eternal destiny in heaven.
Glory.
Ah, but now there are lifestyle steps we can learn that makes life really wonderful. There are steps of faith we can learn and take with God that'll change the atmosphere of our soul and our life.
That's right.
So let's deal with a little bit of both, but I'm going to talk about the same thing that the Holy Spirit emphasized here, okay? 3 John, it's just one little page. I mean, unless your Bible is, my Bible is one page, one chapter. John is writing to Gaius. He said, whom I love in truth. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Very simple. I pray that you prosper and be in health. So John's saying, the King James says, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health. So John, who's an apostle of God, an ambassador of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, God had him write these words to somebody. And it expresses the heart of God and the heart of a Christian to another person, which we could say is for all of us then, right? I mean, if the Holy Spirit wanted John to feel this way about one person, we could feel, it's a good thing, we could feel this way about everybody. Yes. And we could feel this way about ourselves, from God to us. He wants us to prosper and be in health.
Amen. Yes.
Okay, so let's take that for just a moment and think, yeah, well, that's kind of what the world wants, right? The whole world wants prosperity and health.
Right.
Isn't that right? Yep. The whole world wants to be healthy and be fixed when they're sick and free health care. Why? Why is that such a big deal? Because people want to be healthy. They want to live long. And they want to have some money while doing it.
Right.
Simple as that. Very natural desires. Now, because he said it and he's spiritual, it's an okay desire to have. You can prosper in things. Now, he didn't say be uber rich and be so wealthy. That wasn't the point. The point was to prosper, which means to have an abundance, to have enough and then some. So when we talk about wealth or prosperity, let's not think, you know, uber rich, striving to become something you're not. Let's just talk about, you know, having all needs met and then some.
Amen.
Enough for yourself, enough for your next door neighbor maybe, enough for your kids to go to college at least, enough for you to retire comfortably. Happily, as long as you plan on doing something in your comfort. But he says that you may prosper in all things, in all things. No, in all things. Prosper, not just money, but just prosper and just being full and effective and efficient and successful. That's part of the Christian life.
Amen.
Really, it's for, every human Amen. Wants it. With Christians, we have a little advantage.
That's right.
You got to take advantage. You got to find it and you got to apply yourself there. But we have a little bit of an advantage because we have God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have some supernatural insight. We have some principles to live by. And all of a sudden, it becomes possible for us. Most of us did not grow up rich. I didn't hear any hoops and hollers about that. Most of us did not grow up rich. We did not grow up as the 1%. Nobody had silver spoons in their mouth. Most of us grew up probably with a poverty mentality, which means you looked at the cupboard as half empty. You looked at your bank account as, oh my gosh, I don't have enough. You penny pinched your way through childhood. Your parents suffered really hard to try to make ends meet. And really, poverty mentality is the way we think about money. We're striving for it, always wanting more, never having enough, just feeling this emptiness and this desperation. Now, we've just finished a 6-week course, a Sunday school course on prosperity. I don't think everybody came to it. So maybe I don't need to preach this because everybody's already prospering. Is that what it was? The truth is, we need to put some effort into every area of our life that ain't on the top of the mountain. And if it is on top of the mountain, put some effort into it anyway so other people can follow you. But I want to talk about some prosperity things tonight, if you'll let me.
Come on.
First of all, notice this. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. But then he adds this statement. He doesn't just want you to be healthy and wealthy. He wants you to do it as your soul prospers. All of a sudden, he ties your outward well-being to the internal soul.
Right.
And the soul being your mind and your will and we could say the inside of you. So he wants you to prosper, but it's going to be according to how your soul prospers. So are you prosperous on the inside?
Yes.
Are you successful on the inside? Do you have a right mental state? Is your heart in tune with God? See, this is where all of a sudden now our spiritual life matters for our natural life.
Right.
If you could get fixed on the inside, your outside would get fixed. If you could get your soul healthy, your body would get healthy.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times, physical problems are a result of spiritual deficiency.
That's good.
And so to keep
your
spirit man healthy, you're going to have to do spiritual things right.
Yes.
You can't just fly by the seat of your pants as a Christian and try to take the promises off the table as you run by. No, you got to put some effort onto prospering inside. And so your spirit man needs to be healthy. John G. Lake said, if you could take a picture of a congregation, you might notice that the spirits, a picture of the inside, an x-ray of the human condition, he said, you might find that the Christians sat there with weak and frail spirits. Half the body of Christ is sick in some way. Might be because of their spirit man. Might not be. But many times our physical ailments are a result of our internal condition. And then he goes on to say, and this is a whole lesson that we've done, teaching that we've done, but there's three main ways to keep a person's spirit healthy. Number one, you must have a fresh fellowship with God in your life. That's a daily prayer life, a devotion time, a silent time with God, a prayer time where you exchange your life for his life for yours. You present yourself, he gives you his strength. A fresh fellowship with the Holy Spirit, a daily walk with the Holy Spirit, where he's real to you, he's a person to you, and you care about that. And you don't want to grieve him, and you do want to fellowship with him, and you want to rejoice with him. You want to experience the joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to be a spiritual person. You might even want to pray in tongues. A lot. So he can give you utterance to God, a fresh relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need fellowship with God every day. Second thing is you need to feed on the Word of God every day. Jesus said you cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
If you, Mr. and Ms. Christian, are not feeding daily on God's Word, reading some pages of the Bible, then your spirit is not going to be healthy. If you don't eat food very often, you won't be healthy. If you don't eat the right food, you won't be very healthy. Feeding on God's Word daily keeps your spirit man healthy. You can't get too busy to eat, and you can't get too busy to read the Word. How many of you are so busy that you don't eat food? I don't want to see the exception cases where, oh yes, I don't need to eat. No, none of you are too busy in life to eat food, we can tell. We fight for our lunchtime. We fight for our dinner time. We fight to eat food. We chase it down if it's missing.
Come on.
And we should do the same with God's Word. Because you won't be spiritually fit. And then you'll be a Christian who has all these needs and can't ever get God to answer your prayer. And nothing ever seems to be right. And what's wrong with me? And why is God? And it's simply because your soul hasn't prospered and therefore nothing else does either. Internal comes first, external comes after. All right, so your soul matters. You keeping, oh, and then the third thing, you're missing the third thing. You want the third thing. The third thing is that we must have a fresh testimony on our lips.
Yeah.
At all times.
Amen.
Of who God is,
yes.
What Jesus has done for us,
yes.
And what he might do for others. That refers to having a flow. You receive from God, you got to be sharing. You get stuff from God, you love him, he loves you, and then you let it out. You got to receive it and you got to let it out somehow. And there's other things that keep a person's spirit healthy, like don't be in unforgiveness. There's lots of things. Those were the three main things. So we want our soul prospering.
Yes.
Turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll start with this. I just have three short points that might take 3 hours. Just three short points. Uh, The book we have has seven principles. I'm not going to go through all seven principles. Just three short points, a perspective, a little peek at prosperity or success. We could just say success. Psalm 37, first is you're going to have to recognize that God is your source. You're going to have to learn how to trust in God, period, okay? And this is where even good Christians who mean well and love God have a hard time trusting him in the area of money and other things, but have a hard time trusting God in the area of money. We kind of believe, we want to believe, we're trying to pray, we're hoping, we're wishing, we're wanting, but it's just hard to trust him fully. And so our behavior doesn't correspond with what the Bible says, and then what we receive doesn't correspond with what it looks like we should have from God. But he wants to be involved in our life. He's a father. How many of you are parents in here? Don't you want to see your children succeed? Don't you do everything in your power to help them succeed? Or if you knew it, you would do it. Or if you could do it, you would do it. Or you're trying to do it, even though you know you should and maybe you're not, but you want to. You want to see your child succeed. Well, God's way better than every earthly parent.
Amen.
And Jesus even said that. He said, if you being evil or of the earth can give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? So you got to start building a confidence that God, he wants to take good care of me and love on me and bless me and make sure everything's going well. Gloria al Señor. That's right. That's right. So everything boils down to trusting in God, all right? And you can see where when people aren't trusting in God, they're off. Their behavior is off. Their thought life is off. Their words are off. The way they respond to people, their attitude is off when they're not trusting in God. Those who can build a trust in God as their source for everything in life, oh, they end up treating people better. Here's an example that we might get to. When you learn how to trust in God, you won't be mad at rich people. There's a whole world that is just so jealous of rich people. Of course, they don't say, I'm jealous of rich people. What they say is, why didn't they spend their money a different way? I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they get that attitude. What they're really saying is, I'm very jealous that they have a lot of money. Yeah. It's called covetousness. Yeah. And if you don't get fixed by God's word and learn how to trust God, you'll remain covetous. The Bible says that we're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice. Somebody comes into a bunch of money,
hallelujah,
half the world starts thinking, how can I get some of that? That's not a very healthy person.
Right.
It's not a healthy soul. Back when the 99% was all mad at the 1%, and they had the sit out, whatever that was, the camp out down at Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street. That's a very, very ungodly attitude to have. There's a lot you need to understand about God's economy and this world business system. God instituted the business system. And in a free business system where everybody has equal opportunity, there are going to be some uber rich people and some poor people. Where everybody has a shot to go for it as best they can.
Right.
You're going to have some that skyrocket. Glory to God.
Amen.
You ought to be happy for the frog getting out of the bucket.
Amen.
Is it a frog or a crab? Crabs can't ever get out of the bucket because they yank everybody down. Well, if I can't get out of the bucket, nobody's getting out of the bucket. That's how poor people think. Well, it's not fair. Anyway, okay, so that's an unhealthy soul. Let's read some scripture to weed that out of us, to squeeze that old unsaved attitude out of us. Psalm 37, verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. They'll soon be cut down like the grass. So if anybody got their wealth dishonestly, don't worry about them. God will take care of it later.
Right.
Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Just sit there for a moment.
Hallelujah.
until you can say it like she said it.
Thank you, Lord.
Trust in the Lord and do good. That's all you got to do. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is one of the lines you have to cross right now. Some people are desiring riches more than they're desiring God. And you don't get your heart's desire. You'll find that 10 years later, you're still striving about money. Well, if I could ever just get on track with money, I'd finally go get faithful at church or something. You got to delight yourself in the Lord, and then things start working out for you.
Amen.
You got to trust in the Lord and delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Somehow the desires of your heart might have gotten bigger than your delight in the Lord.
Uh-oh.
You got to be very careful about that. Sometimes your desires are good and holy desires. They're just bigger than your delight. You and I have to learn how to delight in the Lord. What is delight in the Lord? Probably take an hour to go through it. Do you delight in the Lord? What delights you about the Lord? When do you delight in the Lord? How do you delight in the Lord? Are you happy with him? Are you mad at God? Or are you happy with God?
Happy.
Are you mad at time with God or happy with time at God? Are you mad that you have to go pray, or are you happy that you have to go pray? Are you can't wait to get through reading the Bible, or you want to keep reading the Bible? Do you like long church or short church?
Long church.
Do you like a lot of church or little church? Come on, this is Christianity 101 here, right? Delighting in the Lord. Do you like scripture? Does it ring your bell? Or do you have some wrong bell? You probably got wrong bell. No, not you. People have wrong bells. And they get all excited about something they saw on the news, or all excited about some new thing that's coming. Or if you can't get as happy about hearing a good about to hear a good sermon as you do about to go to a sale at Macy's, or about to go to a vacation, if you can't just get even more excited about God's word, there's something wrong with you. You know how when you've scheduled a vacation and you think about it during the day and your heart flutters, it's like, ooh. Come on, you ought to have that about God at least every once in a while. You ought to have it like, ooh, I'm going to get up and go talk to God. Ooh, I'm going to go talk to God before I go to bed. Oh, I'm going to go to lunch break, and I'm going to listen to something on the teaching.
Praise the Lord.
Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Chase the desires of your heart. You won't have anything. Okay. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Don't fret about wicked, greedy people doing money wrong. I don't care how rich they are, they're not going to affect your prosperity.
Amen.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Has there been any fretting going on in the past year or two? Or 10 or 20? When I got out of college, we were all fretting at the current presidency back then. Just knew that $1 trillion in national debt was going to ruin America. We were fretting. I was upset. That's what fret is. Fret is to burn, to kindle fire, to not be happy, to be angry, to be frustrated. I was fretting back in 1991. Uh-oh, I just lost the millennial crowd. They're like, oh, he's way too old to relate to me. No, me and the Bible can relate to everybody.
Amen.
Because life is the same.
Right.
People are the same. There is nothing new under the sun. Except cell phones. Same problems, just on a different mechanism.
That's right.
But don't fret, it only causes harm. Don't fret, it only causes harm.
Right.
I was just telling somebody that I was fretting back then. I'd gotten out of college and I was fretting because of the condition of the way the economy was headed and the policies were wrong. And then 5 years later, I gave my life back to the Lord and I got in the kingdom of God. There was no fretting. I got in the kingdom of God. It was so clean and pure. It was my conversion was so pure and clean. It was so immediate. I found myself in the kingdom of God. And I'm like, there's no angst in here. There's no political issue inside the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's not the fight inside the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Glory.
Wow. I saw the fight, the true fight in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
There's only one fight, and it's against the devil. There's only one enemy, it's the devil. And it just freed me so wonderfully. And so there's a way to not fret. Amen? You're going to have to find it. Or why don't you just say, okay, I'm not going to fret. Let's practice doing the word of God. Just say it out loud. Say, I will not fret. It only causes harm. I won't fret about the nation. I won't fret about the world. I won't fret about money. I won't fret about my spouse. I won't fret about my health. I won't fret about anything. Because I'm not a fretter. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Go ahead and say that. Say, I'm going to inherit the earth anyway. Verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. You stay humble and meek, inherit the whole earth. The 1,000-year reign, we get the whole thing. Listen, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when he comes back, when we come with him, we get the whole thing. We get to rule the whole earth, own the whole earth, travel the whole earth, do anything we want to in this whole earth. Glory. Deuteronomy 8 says this. You don't have to turn there. Verse 18 says that God has given every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and take his portion and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Everybody has been given a different grace. Okay. The scripture says that it's he who gives you power to get wealth. God gives us power to get wealth. He gives you the ability or the wisdom or the potential or the opportunity. He gives you the grace to get wealth. Okay? So you need to, what we're going to do the rest of tonight is to find out some how-tos on how I can be sure to live up to my grace. Everybody's grace is a little bit different. Nobody's promised the exact same amounts or lot or call in life.
Right.
Everybody's been given something, though.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus gave the parable of the Lord who gave talents to his, and the talent was money.
Right.
And it was actually a lot of money, but he gave to one guy, he gave one talent. To another guy, he gave two talents. To another guy, or we could say, to one he gave $10,000, to another he gave $20,000, to another he gave $50,000. So everybody doesn't get the same amount. Not everybody's called to the same potential or grace in this life. There's going to be some people that are called to be uber rich. Not everybody's called to be that. Some people have grace to take care of lots of money and lots of employees. Other people don't. Most people will not be a CEO. Most people will not start a business that grows to the ceiling. But everybody can be faithful and successful with what they do have. Jesus commended the guy that had five and doubled it. He commended the guy that had two and doubled it. And the guy that had one didn't do much with it. Didn't do anything with it. He was just proud to have the little bit, hid it. And when the Lord came and said, how'd you do with what I gave you? He said, well, here's the one you gave me. I was, you know, didn't want to lose anything. He didn't handle it very well. Some people don't handle money very well.
Right.
Guess what? They won't be given much.
Exactly.
Some people don't think of money very well. They won't be given much by God. He won't give them much power to get wealth because they don't handle it right. What did the Lord do to the one that didn't do anything with his one talent? He said, oh, you didn't do anything with it? Oh, okay, here, let me give it to the rich guy. And he gave it to the guy that had five that doubled his to 10. Now the guy that had five has 11. The guy that had two has four. The guy that had one has none. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, you took it from the poor, you gave it to the rich. Why'd you do that? Because the rich, he knows how to handle wealth. Well, if I was wealthy, I would learn how to. No, you wouldn't. No, you don't do that. You don't wait until you get there to grow in it. You have to establish a right mentality when you have none. Well, if I had a lot of money, I would give a lot of money. No, you wouldn't. Anybody that has to say that doesn't and won't. So there's a reason why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The rich know how to handle their money. We can say it like this. Every rich person, every multimillionaire owns mutual funds or IRAs or 401k. Every rich person has money placed in places like that. Every rich person. If I'm sitting there listening to this, even if it's, I mean, just assume it's true. Your question should be, do I have one? Do I have a mutual fund or a 401k or an IRA? Because every rich person has.
Amen.
Am I losing people? Listen, these are people that know how to put money to work for them. These are people that understand any extra money needs to be working for me, not sitting there waiting for me to spend it.
Amen.
These are money principles. Mm-hmm. Wealth gotten little by little increases. Trying to get rich quick diminishes. Wealth gotten by vanity diminishes. But those who do it by labor, little by little, using the principle of saving and investing that Jesus explained, can grow their money. Well, if I ever got rich, man, I'd give me some of them IRR, whatever they are. Too late. Too late, because now you've wasted all the time that your money could have been growing. So we got to be wise about some of these things. The Bible has all these principles for us. And it's really, the principles work way back 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and they work today because it's, regardless of which economy you're in, there's always a system in place in the business world. God instituted the business world. After the fall in the Garden of Eden, he instituted the business world, which is now you work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to toil this ground. If you toil a lot and plan a lot, you'll get a lot. If you don't toil, you won't get much. There's always been a business system since the beginning. You need to learn how to use it. All right, so there's principles about it. Go to Joshua chapter 1. The sixth book of the Bible. Just to see some principles. So when we talk about trusting the Lord, we're talking about trusting his word. When we talk about following the Lord, we're talking about following his word. When we talk about leaning on the Lord, we're leaning on his word. So everything that we talk about God, I mean, it's about his word. If you're gonna say that I love God, you also need to know that you're supposed to love his word. Because if you can learn to live by his word without questioning things, like the 5-2-1 talent analogy. What did it do to you? It should do something. You should be thinking, boom, I got to make a change. Boom, I'm doing it. Boom, I'm not doing it. Something should make you consider your own life by that. Simple as that. The word has then fixed you, corrected you. Wednesday night, wow, Wednesday, you got something because you saw clear where you're at, where you want to be, or you're happy where you're at, or you know you're not happy. The word of God has to be your dictator, your director. Nobody likes a dictator. Okay, your director, your commander. Oh, nobody likes a commander. Okay, your instigator. Okay, no. Let the word of God, the word of God has to be something to you. How about everything? The way that I started reading the Bible when I came into the kingdom of God was it was everything to me. It was God speaking to me. It was going to fix everything in my life. I was going to yield to everything I read. It was going to form my new belief system. Everybody's been programmed. Everybody inside their head has a software program that was programmed by somebody. Isn't that right? Every one of us have a software program that was programmed by somebody. It's our mentality that we live with.
Right.
Who formed that for you? Who programmed you up until this age? If it wasn't God's word, we got work to do. We're going to have to debug your system. We're going to have to recode. You're going to have to, you need some fresh code put inside your skull. Because mama and daddy, if they weren't spirit-filled Christians living the Bible, they didn't do it well enough. But they loved me. I'm glad they loved you. If you want to do life right, you're going to have to let God reprogram you and put some right code in you, debug all of your mess in there so you think right. Because if your soul does not prosper and think right, you won't have an outside life that looks decent.
Right.
And you'll ruin relationships. You'll have a hopeless existence. You'll be desperate all the time. You won't be happy or full of joy or experiencing the peace of God. Praise the Lord. Is this Wild Wednesday? Is this what it's supposed to be like on Wild Wednesday? Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Now stop there for a moment. This is Old Testament. We're no longer under the law of Moses. So the way we apply many of these principles and promises from the Old Testament is we take it through the cross, and then we can call it God's word instead of God's law. So instead of the law of Moses, it's the word of God, and it still applies, and the blessing. The principle still applies, and the blessing still applies, just not the law of Moses side. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and we're no longer under the law because faith has come. So it's different now, but just you can still receive the great blessing from the Old Testament scriptures. Be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the word of God. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go.
Right.
So you stick with the word, you'll prosper. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How do you have good success and make your way prosperous? Keep the word in. Keep the word going in. Keep the word coming out. Talk about the Bible. Think about the Bible. Talk about Scripture. Think about Scripture. Quote Scripture. Declare Scripture.
Right.
And it says, then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success.
Right.
There's still a you part to it. You're going to have to take some steps. You're going to have to be faithful. You have to be diligent. You have to go to work. You have to get a job. Some people say, I don't need a job because I have enough money. You need a job. You need a responsibility somewhere 40 hours a week. Okay, that's another message. I don't want to make you mad at this hour. But this is really a living according to the word of God. If you're going to live according to the word of God, you're going to find out why we work. We don't work so that we can have money. That's a side benefit. We work. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have something to give to him who needs. The reason we work is so that we have enough to give to others. What kind of life is that? It's the Christian life. It's the word life. It's the Bible life. It's the instruction from heaven life. What this does is it takes us, once you become a Christian, all of a sudden you're no longer a selfish Christian. I mean, you're no longer a selfish human, which is caring about me and my four and no more. Taking care of my life and providing for my family. Why don't you provide for the neighbors? Well, I can barely provide for my family. I'm working so hard. Well, there's a proverb that says, do not overwork to be rich. Maybe we got some problems in your heart. Maybe we got some problems in your soul. Maybe you got some motives and some desires that are a little off here. Maybe you got some priorities that are off. Sure, you want to take care of your family first. I get that. But your ultimate goal has to be further than your little family.
Yes.
How about taking care of a Christian family
right.
at church? How about thinking kingdom? And I'm not saying that everybody that's retired has to get a paying job so you have money to give her. You can just have responsibility in life. So you need to be doing something fruitful and productive, mm-hmm. even if you're retired. Otherwise, you'll be in heaven pretty quickly. All right. Well, y'all are listening slower now that we're... Maybe it's just that I'm stuck. Okay. all right. Well, maybe we can... Let me just kind of run through some of these and see if we get somewhere. Oh, yeah, we got to get to that. That'll be fun. She said we had time. We have time. All right. Okay, here's a Proverb 21:17. Things of the Word. I mean, there's thousands of principles that will help cure the poverty part. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Proverbs 21:17. What? He that loves pleasure will be a poor man. Think of how many poor people we have in America. Shouldn't be that way. The land of opportunity shouldn't be that way. But we'll always have poor people. Jesus said we'll always have the poor with us. Why? Because there's a lot of people that love pleasure. He'll be poor. You can't be pleasure-oriented, leisure-oriented. It can't be your way. And this is where you got to be careful of media because it can just turn you into a pleasure-seeking, leisure-seeking, just idle, do-nothing type of a person, and you'll be poor. Oh, no, I'm going to be famous on YouTube and have a following. What do they call those people? I'm going to be an influencer, and I'm going to try to get some likes. If I can get some likes, please give me some likes. Give me some likes. I'm going to give you something, but it ain't going to be likes. It's just an attitude that's not healthy. It's not godly, and it doesn't lend itself to a healthy internal soul. So you got to fight those things that would cause your soul to not be healthy. The internal side of you has to remain healthy, free, refreshed, and joyful, and it happens those first three ways that I said, plus a commitment to the Lord. Proverbs 23 says, well, it says several things. Go to Proverbs 23 because I'm going to read a few Proverbs to end. Proverbs 23, verse. I was in Psalms. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven.
Good.
Do not eat the bread of a miser nor desire his... Oh, I'll stop there. You think about back to the talent deal. People, when they're given money, most people that get extra money don't handle it well. Most people that get extra money for whatever reason, the government gave it to you or your boss gave it to you, you got a raise, or you got most people that get extra money, they can't wait to get extra money so they can gobble it up. Those that understand money recognize I have extra now. That I didn't have before. So I need to be very smart with it. Rather than just eat it all, I need to do something with it that's different. Save it, invest it, buy an asset rather than a liability. That means something that will earn me money rather than something that just takes my money. And if you have, well, how am I going to enjoy any of the extra? Well, okay, half it. Half you can eat, half do something with. How about some principles in your life so that you, so in 2 years you have extra.
Right.
So you, most people live at the zero line. And if you don't do something right with your money for investing or putting it to use or starting something yourself, all of a sudden, 5, 10 years later, you're still at the zero line. Mm-hmm. People say, well, no, I got extra money. I don't need to find another job because I got a good severance. Oh, you're going to gobble up the extra. That this is your big opportunity to get a job immediately and not have to use the extra. But people don't think that way. Well, oh, I need some free time. Oh, I need to travel for about a month or 10. And then their money's about to dry up and then they're scurrying for a job. That's stupid. Don't ever tell me if you're doing that. I will not like it. I will not be happy with you. You shouldn't be happy with yourself, and you're not happy with you. Anybody that does that is not happy with themselves. They're living with this subtle, I don't like myself anyway. It's just not smart. Okay, I'm sorry. Somebody needs to say these things to normal people, right? I mean, Christians want to enjoy God in this earth and know that he's with us, but we're going to have to do a few things differently.
Amen.
It's not just an automatic flip of the switch because I became a Christian. It's according to my soul prospering. And if I'm thinking stupid inside my soul, that's what God honors. Okay, go to... No, we don't have time for this. How delighting in God are you? I'm reading the scriptures. They're very wonderful, but it's too long. Let me skip number 2 and go to number 3. How about that? Go to Proverbs 11 since we're here. Proverbs 11, verse 1. See, I knew it. Proverbs 11, verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Can somebody translate that into modern day English? Honesty. Your money dealings must be honest. If they're not honest, it's an abomination to the Lord. All of your money dealings must be honest. The just weight and the just scales, he said in a couple other places, he said you can't have two sets of weights, one when you're buying and one when you're selling. You can't have two sets of scales, one when you're buying, one when you're selling. So you pull out the scale that gets to your benefit, whether you're buying or... No, one set. That refers to all, and nobody's weighing things these days here in the church to I mean, unless you're a farmer or a gold exchange person. So there are some, but it refers to all business dealings being honest. The way you think about it, you can't be manipulative. You can't do things for your advantage. You just gonna have to be honest and trust God with the rest. But if I don't, then I know the person's gonna take advantage. Just trust God with all that stuff. You can do a little bit of bartering here and there and try to get things to your advantage at the same time. Don't go overboard. The Bible says that you don't want to go buy something and say, oh, it's nothing, it's little, I'll pay you a little bit and get it and go home and say, look what I got this great deal, I talked the guy down. Christians don't do it that way. We're honest. Okay, for the inside of you to be right enough for God to prosper on the outside, you're going to have to start with honesty. When we teach the armor of God, the first item of clothing in the armor of God is the girdle of truth.
Right.
Everything else connects to the girdle of truth. If you don't begin with an honest belt, if you don't start with pure honesty, you'll miss half the blessing. You know the truth, and God knows the truth that's on the inside of you. He knows what your tax bill ought to be. He knows when the family inheritance is divided, what it ought to be. I've seen Christian families ruined because of the stupid family inheritance.
Right.
All it means is Christians had an unhealthy soul. They were messed up on the inside. They had dishonesty in there. covetousness in there. You can't have those type things. You got to get those out of you. Proverbs 12. Or let's look at verse 20. I'm sorry, 11:20. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Your ways are going to have to be blameless. If you're a used car salesman, you better be honest. Whatever business you're in, you better be honest. And this is where, obviously, you see a lot of abomination in big business and stuff. Everybody's loopholing everything and tricking everything. And so there's a lot of evil out there, but nobody in here is fretting about it, right? I said nobody in here is fretting about it, right? Hallelujah. I want the big companies to get big, big, bigger, 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 bigger. Why? Because they hire a bunch of people. They hire hundreds of thousands of employees. They go to church somewhere. I want them to grow, 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 grow. Why? So those hundreds of thousands of employees can have retirement plans and they can have money invested and they can grow along with the company growing. That's how business works. Companies grow big, the employees grow big. And if you're in a place where your company's growing big and you're not growing big, go to a different company. That's the beauty of capitalism. We rejoice in those that prosper and succeed. God loves success and prosperity. Matter of fact, everything that God puts in this earth just works. It just grows and just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. Think about it. He put a few seeds in the Garden of Eden and it just kept on growing. And this earth just keeps on birthing trees and keeps on birthing trees and all sorts of things and bushes and flowers and plants and just keeps on growing. The earth just keeps on producing and keeps on producing and keeps on producing. And it's like, oh, we're going to run out of land. We're going to overpopulate. It's not overpopulated. The population of the whole world could fit inside Texas. We're not overpopulated. Just keep them coming. Keep the babies coming. We were made to produce and multiply. More babies and more babies and more babies. Just keep on doing it. That's the way of God. Just keep on growing and keep on producing. You're never going to run out of money. You're never going to run out of earth. You're never going to run out of babies. Chop the trees. Eat the plants. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Why? Because the earth was made to replenish and to grow and to produce. The stock market will always grow. People are like, the stock market? Oh, I don't know anything about that. It's the business system. It's the wealth and it's the strength of companies to be able to take money from people to do good things with. Like build a new car, build a new plant, dig new oil wells. The companies take your money so they can do more good things and produce more good stuff for you. And then they give you return. That's the stock market. And it will always grow. Always. As long as we have a free society, as long as we have capitalism. Think about 100 years ago, it was way down here. And it's jogged, sure, it'll go down some, but it will always grow. As long as human beings are being born, there will be more wealth created in this life. It's not a zero-sum game. Well, they're rich, that means they have to be poor. That's not how it works. There's more wealth today in the world than there was in Adam and Eve's day, isn't there? Than Abraham's day, right? Than Israel's day, there's more wealth in the earth today. There's always more wealth because there's always more things you can get out of that ground. They're still finding oil everywhere. They're still finding gold everywhere. They're still finding lithium everywhere. This is the business system, the economy that God put in this earth so that we flourish and grow and produce. We're part of that. You can be part of that. Oh, here I go again. Reading the Bible. Did I read 12?
No, 12.
Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Those who deal truthfully are his delight. Final scripture, Psalm 112. Final scripture, Psalm 112. Again, this doesn't, when you talk about things like this, the Bible talks about things like this. You don't take away from Jesus Christ. I mean, he's everything, right? But you do spend 40 hours a week working. Some of you 50 and 60. You do spend a lot of time working. You need to do it well. We do spend a lot of time doing a lot of natural things to succeed and produce and change the baby's diapers and all those type things to make life go around. Might as well do it well. Psalm 112, where you can give God the glory.
Amen.
Psalm 112. Not 1, verse 12. This is 100. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments.
Amen.
So there's that delight thing in. How many of you delight in his commandments? How many of you just can't wait to be commanded by God for something?
Amen.
Come on, you just got to love to be commanded by God. Just tell me, God, I'll do it. Just tell me. I can't wait to be told what to do today.
Yes.
It goes completely against human nature, but it's the nature of one who's submitted to the Almighty. Wouldn't it be nice if your kid just woke up on a Saturday and said, what do you want me to do today, parents? I'll do anything you want. Oh, just tell me. I can't wait to do something. Verse 2, his descendants will be mighty on the earth.
Amen.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
If your previous generations in your family weren't all that blessed, you can be the one that is. Not to despise them. We thank God for our family, our grandparents, parents, all the upbringing, all the good things they did. But let's walk uprightly no matter what.
Amen.
Verse 3, wealth and riches will be in his house. And his righteousness endures forever. God didn't have a problem putting wealth and riches in the righteous people's house. As long as you're not going to chase them. As long as you're not desiring to be rich, as long as you're not striving to be rich, he doesn't mind the riches and wealth being there. But they got to be used because riches and wealth are a tool. They're not just for you to hoard. They're not just for you to have comfort in life. They're not for you to trust in. Wealth and riches are there for you to use. You either need to be spending that money to produce something or giving that money to somebody that is producing something or helping the poor or building the kingdom. You're going to have a plan for wealth and riches or you won't get any. Just so that you can sit on a pile and make yourself happy is not scriptural. Money is a tool and a resource. Once you notice that, you can start using it today properly. Rather than being worried about it and scared about it and clinging to it like it's your desperate last $100 bill, just give that sucker away. I remember the first time I got free from some of the old way of thinking. I had just left my career, gave away all my money, and I was in was traveling and preaching. But I was in a McDonald's here in Houston, and it was in Christmas time, and there was a woman with some kids, like maybe 3 kids, and they all had bare feet. It was real cold outside, and I thought, oh man, I'm gonna give them something. And I pulled out a $100 bill and gave it. And I didn't have much money at the time, you know, not much cash, not much extra. Oh, it just blessed me. Probably best blessed me more than them. Just a $100 bill. You can give $100 bills all day long. Okay, maybe not, but you can give them once. You can give a $100 bill once, break the ice. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends or gives. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he'll never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He'll not be afraid, even of the economy, until he sees his desire upon his enemy. Don't worry about the enemy part. That didn't really pass through the cross. Right now, we're not looking at people as enemies desiring their downfall. You understand? That's an attitude people had before Christ where they looked at enemies as, Get them, God. Now, we look at God, not enemies. We look at God and we trust Him, knowing that there are enemies and there are problems and there are demon-possessed people out there that are ruining things for others' lives. We trust God and we're asking for mercy on the sinners so that we can help the world. Right now, we have a message to the world and a message to the evil, and it's get saved, please. Could you please get saved? All right, praise the Lord. Verse 9, he has dispersed abroad. This is the man who fears the Lord, verse 1. He delights greatly. This is the man who fears the Lord, the righteous. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Praise the Lord. We're not really worried about the wicked. Jesus didn't talk like that, but that's the Old Testament way to look at it. Bottom line is, we are the righteous. We have dispersed. We distribute. We're generous. Because we're not worried about money. Because we trust in God. Because He's our source. We got some right principles we're living by. We know He backs up His word. We know that we are safe, secure, and that God is the one that gives us power to grow wealth, power to make it, power to have enough for the family, and then a little extra. A little extra for savings account, a little investment account, to give to somebody, to give to church, a little here, a little there. We have plenty. We're not afraid of money. We act differently. We talk differently. We're not protecting ourselves from all the problems that could possibly happen. It would be wise to have a little extra money saved up in case you needed a big lump. Okay, sure, some wise things to do, but don't ever do anything out of fear. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. And remember, it's my third closing. Jesus said this. He said, how can I trust you with spiritual things if I can't trust you with physical things? If you can't be trusted with unrighteous mammon, you will not be entrusted with the true riches. Mm-hmm. So the way we handle money does determine how far we go in spiritual matters. Right. If you can't take care of the stuff you can see, this natural stuff, how could God trust you with the spiritual stuff? Amen? So it does take some effort on our part to get it right. So thanks for doing the prosperity class. Praise the Lord. Is everybody happy? Is everybody richer in their soul?
Amen.
Everybody got some of the dust knocked off their shoulders? Everybody a little less crusty about money right now? All right.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.